Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
People, thank you so much for hanging on. This has been kind of an unusual night. Now me and Sam, but God bless Sam. He's a genius. He's crammed in all those wonderful videos, those clips. You know, we had to really rush the first hour. We got off our prayer routine, but we had to get those clips in there. We had so much. We're trying to get like 6 hours of information to 2 hours of radio. So we're transitioning right now. We have one of my favorite guests. We have a man that I've been following for years before he ever knew who I was. His name is Mark Weber. He's very well known. He's the head honcho at the Institute for Historical Review. The man is an expert on Mideast affairs, specifically an expert on Iranian affairs. He's been over there at least three times that I know of. You know what he's done? He's been over there. He's lectured. He's lectured before in Iranian universities. He's lectured before other dignitaries there. He's even met face-to-face with President Ahmadinejad, if I'm saying it right. But, you know, the man, I can say he's an expert on what's going on over there right now, the so-called crisis that's going on over there. Now, what we're going to do for Mark, Sam's going to play a clip. And Mr. President Trump's going to enlighten us on who created ISIS and stuff like that. And then we're going to let Mr. Mark Weber break it down for us and give us his opinion on who really created ISIS and things like that. Go ahead, Sam. Play that clip, my brother.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. Okay? He's the founder. He founded ISIS. And I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton.
Wow. You know, Mark, you know, if that's true, Mark, why is Hillary Clinton not in jail? Why is Barack Obama? Why are they not in prison if they actually founded ISIS? Mark, what do you have to say about that, my brother? Incidentally, welcome to Blood River Radio tonight, Mr. Mark.
Hello. Good to be on with you. I'm happy to be on with you again. Thank you for the kind introduction. There's a lot of finger pointing that should be done and isn't done in all the media. I would set it up by just reviewing. Just the last few weeks have been very headline making with the United States and Iran and the situation in the Middle East, notably the U.S. assassination of a top Iranian military commander in Iraq, the vote by the Iraqi parliament to get the Americans to leave the country. The threats by President Trump against Iraq and new threats against Iran, the Iranian attack against a U.S. military base. I mean, these have been some pretty important several weeks. And I think it's good to put it in that kind of perspective because ISIS is only almost a footnote compared to the larger issue right now of war and peace in the Middle East and the danger of a larger conflict that could engulf the Middle East and much of the world. A lot of the narrative by the Trump administration in assassinating Soleimani is, well, he's a bad guy, he's done all these terrible things. But certainly if the United States is in the or any country is in the position of knocking off bad guys, well, there's some leaders here in this country who deserve to be punished at least as strongly as Soleimani. Not least,
you got that right.
Not least, I mean, George Bush organized and
amen,
the
amen.
Public to bring about the 2003 Iraqi war, which is universally condemned now. Even Biden, who supported it at the time, has to try to walk back from that and pretend that he wasn't supporting it when he did, because everybody realizes it was a terrible catastrophe, a fiasco. But on that basis alone, if Soleimani deserves to be put to death, well, so does George W. Bush, Dick Cheney,
Amen.
And Joe Biden. But see, that's the dangerous thing in a lot of this.
And how about Barack and Hillary? Don't leave Barack and Hillary out now, Mr. Mark.
Oh, Hillary, of course. I mean, she has. There's no war recently that America's been involved in that she wasn't a cheerleader for. And, of course, that's one of the problems of our system is that even catastrophic policies by our leaders are never – nobody's ever held accountable for them, whether it was George Bush or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama and so forth. And I want to get into a little bit more about some aspects of that. But the big point here, I think, is that the much of the media coverage of the big events that have happened over the last few weeks have tried to focus on whether Soleimani was a bad guy or whether he did terrible things or didn't do terrible things or so forth. And it misses the larger point. The larger point is, why are thousands and thousands of American troops in Iraq and in Syria and in Afghanistan and throughout the Middle East? Why is the United States playing this large military role, not only right now in the campaign against Iran, but in Syria? By the way, the U.S. troops in Syria are there not just under the Trump administration. They're there under the Obama administration. And, of course, it was Bush that put the troops in Iraq. Why are we there? Why are large crowds shouting death to America? They're not shouting death to Russia or death to China.
And he put them in Iraq on a lie, too, didn't he, Mark?
I'm sorry, what?
I said, and he put them in Iraq, put the troops in Iraq on a gigantic lie.
That's right, yes. Now, but the big point here is that the fundamental reason why the United States has this huge military presence in the Middle East is, as Trump and Obama and Bush have all acknowledged one way or the other over the years, is because of the United States alliance with Israel. The
Amen.
U.S. support for Israel overshadows all other considerations in the Middle East, and this has been acknowledged by American officials. And that should be, the larger picture should be kept in mind, and not the details of whether Soleimani did this or didn't do that, or whether what's going on exactly in Syria, or the role of ISIS. The big thing about ISIS, which is a terrible organization, of course, a terrible campaign in the Middle East, the biggest effort to bring down this ISIS wasn't the United States. It was Iran and the Syrian government. But the media in America and the American political leaders, both Obama and Trump, have given the impression to the American public that the major force fighting ISIS is the United States, when that's not at all the case. But anyway, that's I want to keep the focus on the larger problem of America's involvement in the Middle East and these wars, which not only kill thousands of Americans, but cost hundreds of billions, even trillions of dollars, and are very ruinous to the American public.
We're in over 130 nations militarily. Sorry to interrupt you, but you know, you're punching all my buttons tonight, Mark. You really are. God bless you. I'll try not to interrupt you anymore. We're going to a break right now, Mark. We'll come back right back. Okay. I got a quick question, and I want you to take
Great.
Right off again.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll be right back. Hang on to you, sick people. People, go get you a quick cup of coffee, but don't stay gone too long.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Well, people, you're right back. You're listening to Blood River Radio. That's right, Blood River Radio. We're talking to a man right now. I've been following Mark Weber for years and years. You know what? I used to follow him. In fact, I was talking about, what was his name? This fellow, Bradley Dean, I believe it was Bradley Smith. He's now deceased. God rest his soul. Bradley Dean. I used to follow his work. In fact, I got a paper. We're going back years. I'm dating myself now, years and years ago. But I never dreamed I'd be able to meet Mark Weber. Mark Weber is a hero of mine. The guy is, he's a historical guru. He really is. If you want to know the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, with all the crap, you need to go to Institute for Historical Review. Hey, Mark, give us your website. How can they go in? Can they get books and things at your website, Mark? Our audience?
Yes, they can. We have our main website is ihr.org, Institute for Historical Review, but we have a large range of books and discs and leaflets available on our IHR store website, ihrstore.com, and you can, of course, link that from the main site, but we have a large range of items that I think are really useful and important, and I urge your listeners to check out the IHR website. There's an awful lot there, and don't be misled by just the homepage. There's an enormous archive and library, and almost any subject of interest, you type that in the search engine, and you'll come up with lots of articles dealing with a whole range of issues. We try to deal with relevant current events that are happening from a historical perspective, and we try to look at history in terms of how it's relevant for our times and our people and our future.
That's right. You know, I've heard you say, Mark, that you deal pretty much almost specifically, I won't say entirely, but you're very big on history because, you know, everything, like Solomon said, I think I said this in the first hour, what has been is what is shall be. You know, if you don't, I know it's a cliche, but people, I won't even say the cliche, I'll just say this. People, bless your ignorant hearts. You know, you poor, lazy SOBs out there. You know, you have to get off your fat butt. And you have to start reading this stuff. You have to have learned history yourself. And you know what? I have a lazy fat butt myself, but you know it's hard work. It's hard. Because you know what? When I read, I lose weight, just like Sam. But, you know, kind of shifting gears a little bit, I'm going to ask Mr. Mark, and I'm not kidding you, Mark is like, I won't say he's like a god or anything, but, you know, I've followed Mark for years and years. He's one of the very few people, probably not in jail, that's been involved in the work he's in. He's been around for a long time. So you need to go to his website if you really want to get educated. But, you know, Mark, I was talking to Sam during the break. It's our belief, I'm going to write by you, that the United States, going all the way back to the 70s, probably created the Mujahideen, you know, because the Mujahideen in Afghanistan and were fighting the Soviets because we were fighting over their poppy fields and stuff. But fast forwarding, you know, the United States, it's in probably maybe with the British intelligence, created, and I'm running this by Mark. Mark knows about more about this than I do. The U.S. of A. created ISIS, our Nusra, whatever you call it. They created them. And you know what? And they did it to help our buddies, our good buddies in Israel, who they love us so much. But, you know, I heard Benjamin Netanyahu say, and Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, ISIS, he has no beef. Israel has no beef with ISIS because guess what, people? ISIS has never attacked Israel, even though they hate Israel with a purple passion. So we've been told they've never attacked Israel. Am I right or wrong, Mark?
Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean they're kind of fed up a caliphate in the Middle East. I mean there is a basis in the frustration of many people in the Middle East that supports ISIS, and Israel has exploited that. It's been very interesting that in the Syria conflict, Israel has given aid and support to ISIS fighters because they, above all, want to overthrow the Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad, and that's what ISIS is trying to do. Israel doesn't want any group to gain the ascendancy. What Israel has done and has a long record of doing is encouraging maximum strife and conflict throughout the Middle East and oppose any government, any regime, any country that becomes strong enough to be a counterweight or rival or opponent of Israel. And that's why years ago Israeli leaders laid out a long-range plan to overthrow the regimes and the governments in Iraq, Syria, Iran, and Lebanon. And they did succeed with the United States' help in overthrowing the government of Iraq. But they did not succeed in and have not been able to overthrow the government in Iran, and they have not been able, despite tremendous U.S. intervention, to overthrow the government in Syria. And part of the reason for that is that over time, other countries have been coming to the aid of Iran and Syria, contrary to the wishes of the United States. You know, for 8 years, Iran and Iraq fought a tremendous war in which there were 1 million casualties, a terrible conflict between those countries. And in that conflict, started by Iraq, with American support, the United States backed Iraq in that war. Iran
gave them poison gas.
No friend.
They gave them what? They gave them poison gas, didn't they, Mark? The United States gave... you know, these weapons. Right, yeah. Oh, we got to attack them because they have weapons of mass destruction.
The big point is, during that conflict, Iran had no allies, including Russia. Today, Iran now has China and Russia and other countries as allies, and the United States is a country that's largely isolated now in the Middle East. That's a big, big difference. Just the other week, Iranian naval forces had joint exercises with naval forces of China and Russia. The situation is very different than it was just a few years ago. And
our most favored nation partner.
That's why the United States has not been able to overthrow the government in Syria, which Obama tried to do, because it had support from Russia and Iran and tacit support from China.
That's fair. But you know what? That's amazing right there. You know, thank God for those people saving. I consider Syria our ally, my ally, because you know what, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong. And we probably said this on this show before. I'm sure I'm not the only person to say this. But in Syria, you know, Assad actually has Christians, the evil Assad, he has Christians in his governmental cabinet. The Christians in Syria love him. Christians in Iraq fled fled Iraq when the United States was bombing them into the Stone Age, attacking them, you know, when they were slaughtering Christians, you know, in the streets there in Iraq. They went, the ones that could make it to Iran, they were protected by Assad. Am I right or wrong there,
Eddie, Mark? One of the most odd things is that the most important, the most anti-Christian government in the Middle East is the one that's closest to Trump in the United States, Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
The first foreign country that Trump visited as president of the United States was, of all countries, Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia doesn't allow any church buildings in the country, any Christian church buildings. Saudi Arabia doesn't even have the pretense of any kind of parliament or voting or so forth. The leader of Saudi Arabia, of course, ordered the chopping up and killing of this Washington Post person. But, of course, Trump isn't interested in knocking off bad guys in Saudi Arabia, namely the prince who's in charge there, Mohammed bin Salman. But that's why there's just nothing but hypocrisy when Trump talks about these bad guys and evil regimes and so forth in the region. Saudi Arabia has been waging a terrible and illegal war in Yemen with backing from the United States that the entire world
Mark,
is down.
We've got to go to a break. I don't know if you can hear the introductory music, but we've got to go to a break. I hate to interrupt you, Mark, but we'll be right back. Be right back, people. This is a riveting interview, so please don't miss a word. Come right back. And like Sam said, go get some tater juice or something.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The National Women's March has brought out protesters from all around the country in cities like Washington, D.C., Chicago, New York, Milwaukee, Los Angeles, and Oakland. A slate of marches and events were also scheduled across five continents in cities like Oslo, Norway, Chiang Mai, Thailand, and Lagos, Nigeria. And surprisingly, a lot of younger people are getting involved.
And I just feel that it's really important to see the youth representing. It's really, because there's a lot of misconceptions that the youth don't follow politics. You know, we don't know what's going on, but we do, and it's really important to spread that message.
The Washington, D.C. March is focusing on smaller slates of issues, like reproductive rights, immigration, and climate change. Chicago's Women's March will feature a gallery of issues highlighting voting, the census, climate justice, gun violence protection, and women's health. This is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
Bernie Sanders has been asked to step down from the impeachment proceedings. Tim Berg has the story.
Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn is arguing that four Democratic senators running for president should recuse themselves from President Trump's impeachment trial, arguing they cannot sit in judgment of the very president they seek to replace. Bernie Sanders was asked about recusing himself on the campaign trail.
I swore a constitutional oath as a United States Senator to do my job, and I'm here. To do my job. And I think the people of the United States understand that.
Police in Wisconsin posted a lighthearted warning about a highly addictive substance commonly known as Thin Mints, peanut butter patties, and more. The Kenosha Police Department's Facebook post said young girls run the operation and they'll get you with a good cause story. They say the treats will be arriving soon in their area, and if you come into contact with any of these cookies, you can drop them off at the police department. They'll be happy to assist with proper disposal. This is USA Radio News.
A being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, people, we're right back after the break. We're having a wonderful time. We probably discuss more stuff during the break than we do during the show. Golly, with that, I was going to ask Mark. Oh, I'm going to ask Mark a question. Mark, is the swamp that Trump was going to drain, is the swamp anyone that's not pro-Israel?
You know, Trump made some remarks last month that were really extraordinary. At a rally of Jewish supporters, in which with him was his most important backer, Sheldon Adelson. He's the single largest donor to Trump and the Republican candidates in 2016 and currently. Trump in that speech made the astonishing statement that Americans don't love Israel enough, and particularly Jewish Americans don't love Israel enough, and they have to love Israel even more. Now, it's impossible to have an America First policy if large and powerful and influential parts of the population are simultaneously loving foreign countries. But imagine the reaction that Trump and Republicans would have if a Democrat said, you know, the problem in America is that Americans don't love Mexico enough, and that Mexican-Americans have to love Mexico even more than they do. Or what if he said Chinese-Americans don't love China enough, and America has to love China more? It would be considered completely crazy if in any other context or for any other country, a politician was to say we have to love that foreign country more than we already do. And particularly, it's an open acknowledgement that a very influential minority in America, the Jewish minority, already, quote-unquote, loves Israel, loves a foreign country and its policies more than the United States. And it's impossible to drain the swamp or to have an America First foreign policy while simultaneously supporting a policy that is based on what's good for Israel and its interests and its agenda.
You know, Mark, everybody and his mama knows that at one time I was Southern Baptist, but I left the Southern Baptist Church. I belong to, I'm trying not to make this rabbit trail too long. The Baptist Church, I was 62 years old when I came to Christ, almost 62. And this was a fundamental, hardcore, Bible-believing Baptist church. But within a year after me about being baptized there, they started going to all this Judeo-Christian garbage. We have to welcome the Mexicans into our church. We gave them our old, they gave them our old church where I was baptized. They turned over totally to Mexicans. They started bringing Mexicans into our church. You know, bless Israel. He who blesses Israel, I will be blessed. No matter what Israel does, if they take chainsaws, and now this is me talking, if they take chainsaws and cut up orphans and Catholic nuns, well, that's horrible, and we detest that, but we can't criticize Israelis or Jews because, you know, they're God's chosen people. So I guess where I'm going with that is the church. I think the churches in the United States are some of our biggest enemies right now, and that's coming from a Christian, someone who used to be a Baptist, but they are preaching all this crap. They're the ones, Mark, in my opinion, you correct me if I'm wrong, the churches are egging the president on. You know, yes, we have to do, even to quote my little co-host, even if the United States burns to a cinder in an all-out nuclear war, as long as we can make sure that Israel is safe, if Israel is untouched, it doesn't make a damn if the whole United States and the rest of the world is destroyed.
About a year ago, almost exactly those words were used by Nancy Pelosi. She was speaking at a rally, and she said, even if America falls apart and the Capitol is destroyed, the one thing that will remain, Nancy Pelosi told this audience, it was a Jewish fundraising event, is our support for Israel, our alliance with Israel. This is crazy. This is madness. You know, when the Prime Minister of Israel comes to the United States and speaks to the U.S. Congress, he gets a more rousing applause from politicians of both the Democratic and the Republican Party than American politicians give to any American leader. And Trump gets, Netanyahu gets more applause from the American Congress than he does from the parliament in Israel. This is an expression of tremendous entrenched corruption in the American political system that shows the an expression of the extent to which American politicians, looking out for themselves, are submitting to those who have real power in American life, and that is the organized Jewish community, which contributes far more than any other single group to the political campaigns of politicians of both the Democratic and Republican Party. This is a dangerous situation. It's impossible to have a country that can look to the future when it's so skewed and so misguided in this way. And, you know, you bring up another point, Eddie, about Christian Zionists and the support that Southern Baptist Convention and many evangelicals have for Israel. This is astonishing. This is the only significant Christian group in the world that has this view. And they are willing to applaud the oppression of Christians in the Middle East by Israel and support Jews who are doing that. Remember, Israel doesn't have any love for Christians. They find them useful in America. But they'll they mistreat and oppress Christians in the Middle East just as readily as Muslim, not because of their religion, but because they're not Jewish.
You know, Mark, I know something you agree with, because I believe you, I think it was one of your speeches, Vincent, I listened to your speech the other day, but man, what a, I wish we had 2 hours to cover that speech. But, you know, before I get too sidetracked, let's see, God, I'm getting kind of sidetracked there a little bit. Oh, I know what I was going to say. You know, you were in Iran, and you gave a, painted a great, true, when I say great, a great picture, it's because it's true that the Iranians are really a educated people. Excuse me, I'm having to unplug. Plug up our power source. We had a little trouble there. I had to plug up our power source. I had a little trouble, but it's fixed now. But anyway, the Iranians over there. And I'm going to make this short. They're of a Muslim, the Shia. They're pretty much a Shia. You said that the people over there, especially the women, were very highly educated. You said that I think that about 60% of all the university students in Iran are women, and the Iranians over there, the Shia, they look at Jesus Christ in a much more favorable light than the Jews. You know, the Jews think that he was a and I'll say this on the radio. If you have children, you know, you may watch well. I'll try to pad what I'm going to say. But the Babylonian Talmud, which there's a Babylonian Talmud in just about every synagogue in the United States, probably the world, and it says that the Jesus Christ was born of a prostitute during her cycle, and that he's in hell right now, boiling. And I won't say what he's boiling in, but you people know what I'm talking about. He's boiling in excrement, you know, and he'll be there for all eternity. He's going to be punished. That's what the Babylonian Talmud says of Jesus Christ. These are the same people that are taught to spit. These Orthodox Jews to spit when they pass a Christian church. And these are the people that our Southern Baptist friends, that I used to belong to a church, not only the Southern Baptist, but all these other infiltrated churches, they worship these Jews. These Jews would love nothing better than to put them in chains and shackles and work them to death because they think they're animals. But these people, they asked Mark, they said, why do the Christians in the United States, why do they hate us so much? Why do they love Israel? Why do they love Jews so much when the Jews are just, they're virulently, they have just a virulent hatred for Christians? Am I right there, Mark? Isn't that what they said?
Well, that's the big mystery for people in Iran. Iranians are astonishingly very friendly to America. If anything, they're somewhat even naive about the United States. Many Iranians, of course, live in the United States. They have many ties. People go back and forth all the time. People have family ties. I mean, Iranians are, they watch a lot of American movies. They know about the United States. And it's a mystery. They can't understand why does America pursue policies that are harmful even to our own country? That's a mystery. Why is the United States, you know, over and over in the United Nations, there are these votes in which the United States and Israel and maybe the Marshall Islands and Micronesia are on one side, and the whole rest of the world is on the other. It's inexplicable. But the reason is because the organized Jewish community, the Jewish role in our media and our political life and donations and networking makes all of our political life and our cultural life so pro-Israeli and so friendly and supportive of the organized Jewish community and the Jewish agenda. You know, it's incredible. Christian Zionists say we have to love Israel and we have to love Jews. Well, the very period over the last 60 years of what even Christian Zionists think is a time of increasing decline in America and a very bad period is also precisely the period in which the Jewish organized Jewish community has greater power than ever.
Mark, believe this hour is just flying by. We have to go to another break. I don't know if you can hear the music or not, but we have the music coming in. We got to go to a quick break. People, we'll be right back in just a few minutes. You probably, if you drink too much coffee, go get some water or some carrot juice. Anyway, we'll be right back in just a minute, people.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Well, people, we're right back. Sadly, it looks like we're at the last segment with Mark. But I tell you what, if Mark will just agree to come back, if he doesn't get too big of a stigma for coming on our show, we're going to have him on as often as we can. You know, Mark, you talk about they can't understand the people in Iran, and I got to get off this quick because I got to ask you some questions about your trip over there. The people in Iran, they cannot understand how the American people can be so stupid and so backward and so brainwashed, just loving their enemies. Almost, I would say they have the Stockholm syndrome. In fact, I call these conservatives Stockholm cucks. I think they would be willing to sell their own children into slavery if they could just adopt either a black child from Haiti or maybe give some more money to Israel. But, you know, evidently, it looks to me like, you know, everybody in our Congress can't be Southern Baptist and Evangelical. So I think you probably answered the question why they vote. Probably 95% of the Congress, they vote in line with every single thing that Israel and the Jews want. It's because it's the money. Just they control the money. They control the printing presses. They control, you know, they control ABC with Leonard Goldenson, CBS with William Paley, and CBS with Leslie Morvies. It looks like, you know, Bob Iger of Disney. I mean, it goes on and on and on. They control all that. But you know, Mark, tell us a little bit, if you will, shift gears. Tell us a little bit about the last trip you went to Iran, because tell us about the impression you had with the people there. And if you get time, tell us about the President Ahmadinejad. You met with him, I believe.
Well, these are different visits. I was in Iran on three different visits. The last one was a very large conference on the Palestine issue, and the main speaker at that was the what they call a supreme leader of the country, but also the, it was hosted by the speaker of the parliament of Iran. One of the most interesting things about it is not just meeting Iranians. I meet lots of interesting people from around the world, including people here in the United States. It's an odd thing that a number of activists or influential or interesting people here in America, who you may have heard of here, I'd meet them only in Iran. I don't meet them here in the United States, because the Iranian government is interested in bringing to the country people who are critical of U.S. policy and critical of policies for war here in the United States. One of the most interesting persons I met in Iran was a former U.S. Senator, Mike Gravel, from Alaska. He was the one who put the Pentagon Papers on the public record as a U.S. senator when he was serving in the U.S. Congress. And he actually was a presidential candidate some years ago, too, briefly. He didn't get very far in the primaries. But he's just one of a number of interesting people who I've met only through the visits to Iran. But the most, probably more productive or interesting meetings were the first two visits I had to Iran, in which, as you mentioned, I spoke to hundreds of university students. It's an opportunity to talk to both ordinary people and to influential people, people in government or people who are in political life or so forth, and that's always very interesting. Iranians, there's basically a consensus around the world about the Middle East. And the one country that resists that, that objects to that and supports Israel virtually with a blank check, is the United States. And it's not just Iranians that are unhappy about this, or Palestinians, but the whole world really is very unhappy, and particularly unhappy by the Trump policy, which punishes countries that are trying to have just normal economic and business relations with Iran, which is entirely illegal, by the way. The 2015 Iran nuclear deal, which was made by not just the United States and Iran, but also by China, Russia, Germany, France, and Britain, is a United Nations Security Council resolution and has the binding force on all member states of the UN. And Trump's violation of that, his rejection of that, is contrary to the Charter of the United Nations and of the laws that we claim to uphold around the world. And this is why increasingly around the world, the United States is looked upon as almost a rogue country. And again, this isn't just confined to Trump. This was true also of Obama's role in the Middle East, notably when he sent U.S. troops into Syria. Again, there's no justification, there's no basis on American law or international law for United States U.S. troops being in Syria. That's completely illegal. Both American and international law. But most people don't care. And that's the astonishing thing, is that Americans don't even care about the very standards that they try to hold other countries to, or sometimes selectively hold other countries to.
I guess our country is just too soft and too decadent to give a care. You know, Mark, one of the things that I think you mentioned it too when I was listening to one of your superb speeches. Now, you know what? I wish people would. Let me say right now, Mark, before I go to my question, how can people go? I forgot. How can they go listen to the speech? You gave a speech to the, I think, to the Institute for Historical Review on one of your trips to Iran. How can they go listen to that speech? I forgot how it got into
many, it. Many talks by me and others are on the audio section of our main website. If you go to our website and you go to audio section, there's a whole lot of talks there. There was a video section, but a lot of our videos have been pulled from YouTube as part of a systematic campaign to squash the voices of people that are critical of Israel or critical of the, well, this is across the board. You know about this. I mean, we've had the same problems that others would have with credit card processing being cut. I mean, this is an ongoing thing, and it's going to get worse. It'll get worse, I'm sure, because those in power can see that there's a growing awareness all across the board about how the game is fixed in our country and the corruption of our politicians. This is obvious to millions of people. I mean, the last 2016 election is the first in all of U.S. history in which a majority of voters said they didn't trust either of the candidates. People are increasingly voting not in favor of somebody, but against. That is, millions of people are voting for Trump because they can't stand what the Democrats want and what they stand for and what they represent. And millions of people are voting for Democrats because they can't stand Trump. That's almost a paralyzed society and a paralyzed country. Across the board, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, people don't trust our media. They feel manipulated, and rightly so, and it's understandable. And that's across the board. There's a huge people want politicians are going to tell the truth. The problem is when people do tell the truth, they don't want to hear it because it's uncomfortable. And that's a big problem. People like, there are some ethical political people, Ron Paul, Pat Buchanan, Ralph Nader are principled people, but people don't want to hear that. They want to hear easy and quick solutions to these problems, and there aren't any, because we've been on a bad path, a very wrong path for so many years now, that the only way to turn things around is going to be pretty painful. It's like somebody who's got a very, very severe disease or illness, and he's going to have to do some real hard things to turn things around.
You know, Mark, you made the comment, and oh, so true, that so many of our people, they just do not give a damn. And that the damn is, that's my phrase. You know, for instance, we hear constantly about how we can't have Iraq, and now Iran. We're worried sick. Iran will never, as long as I'm president, will they have nuclear capability. Iran can't have nuclear capability. Now, let me see. Now, how many atomic weapons does the United States have? And by the way, the United States, and I'm an American. I got drafted to the United States Army a long time ago, so I can, by God, I paid the price. I can say this. The United States is the only country in the world that's ever used nuclear weapons on anyone. And I'll tell you something else, too. The country of Israel, God only knows how many atomic bombs that Israel has, and they have capability to launch it. So why, and you know, North Korea's got atomic weapons, China's got atomic weapons, Russia's got atomic weapons. You know, why in the hell can't people in the vicinity of Israel have atomic weapon capability to countermand the friggin' weapons that Israel has? I mean, the hypocrisy, to me, there's no greater hypocrisy in the world than what's displayed by here in the United States and Israel. They're bitching and moaning about the nuclear capability of Iran. I mean, I don't get that, Mark. I mean, what's up with that, man?
Well, actually, the 2015 nuclear deal that was made by the United States and these other countries, Iran has said they're not going to have nuclear weapons. And that was the part of the agreement. So when Trump says Iran can't have nuclear weapons, that's what Iran says. Yeah, that was the agreement. We agree. But Trump says he wants more than that. He says he wants Iran not even to have ballistic missiles, not even to have effectively any real defense capability. I mean, it's Iran that's been attacked. I mean, over and over, not the other way around. And it is hypocrisy. It is a double standard.
Absolutely. And I'll reiterate, the United States is the only country in the world that's ever bombed another country. Well, Mark, we have come to the end of an hour. I hope and pray you'll come back on our show again as soon as possible. I didn't get to scratch the surface what I want to ask you, and I totally interrupted you. I wanted you to talk more about your trip to Iran. So, your many trips, but maybe once when we get back, get you back as soon as possible, we'll get you to go over some of these things that you want to talk
about. Okay, Eddie.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir. People, we've come to the end of of another broadcast with the Blood River Radio. Thank you so much for hanging out. Thank you, Sam. The guy only knows Sam did just pull. He pulled us out of the fire tonight. Thank you, Lee, for coming in. Thank you, Monica. Thank you, people, for supporting us. God bless you. Good night. We'll see you here same time, same place next week, God willing. Good night.